Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, this is a flag day for this nation and 250th anniversary for the U.S. Army. And we have much to be thankful for this nation and what you have done. And we do pray for your help and protection this day against the planned violence in so many of our cities. And just to think how we could be doing that to the blessings you have given us. But we are the church, we're not the world, and we're to pray. And so here we are this morning, and just guide us by your Spirit, Lord, and may these moments be redeemed as we would be seeking you and as we would be responding to you, Holy Spirit, as you put conviction in each of us. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue on through the dialogue between man and God in the prayers in the Bible. And today we're in a familiar name called Enoch. And when you start to think of how long people lived in that particular generation or generations, it's kind of mind-boggling. Enoch walked 65 years he lived 65 years without any record of him walking with God. So that kind of, that part we can relate to, 65 years, right?
Yeah.
That's not so hard. Then he had a baby. He named him Methuselah, which means his death shall bring. This was a very, very wicked time. This is leading up now. Methuselah will live, what, over 937 years?
969.
And almost 1,000 years, right? But when he takes his last breath, that's when the flood will come. That's when the end will come on the earth and judgment will come on the whole earth. So these are wicked days that Enoch is walking in, although he's a little earlier because he lived 300 years after Methuselah was born. So there's about almost a 700-year gap between the time of Enoch's translation and the flood. So getting that in mind a little bit. But we have here an amazing account here in the genealogies because it breaks it down generation by generation, and they all died, and they all died, and they all died. And then we get to Enoch, and it doesn't say that he died. So what happened to him? Well, the word really is translated. He got translated, and so I've never quite figured this out. I think it's much like, it's somewhat like us dying because our spirit goes to be with the Lord, but you know, there's not a heaven aspect, there's not a glorification aspect in those days because Jesus had not yet paid the price of sin, right? So you can figure out where Enoch was until Christ came. I think why wouldn't he be in Sheol like everybody else? Although he didn't get there by taking his last breath, he got there because God took him. So we won't dwell on that part of it. But he is given to us in the book of Jude as a prophet, so he's the first prophet. So he's very prophetic in his naming his son, or the Spirit naming his son Methuselah, right? Because can you imagine as Methuselah is growing up, every time he'd get a cold or every time he'd get sick, can you imagine the panic everybody would get into? Don't let him die. Don't let him die because his death shall bring the judgment on the earth. And so it's kind of an amazing time. But 300 of those years then after Enoch had Methuselah, it says Enoch walked with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? Well, we know what it means to walk with God, but it would seem like one of the first things that we have to do, we have to be close to him, right? You can't really walk with him if you're not close to him. And it also seems like we need to be going in the same direction as him, right? So think about that. How is every step in your life in the same direction as the Lord is going? Well, probably most of them, but we would like to see that walking with him ourselves, would we not? And then we want to be thinking like he thinks. We want to be thinking like he thinks, and we want to be doing as he would have us to do. We want to be obedient to him, don't we? People often refer to Vernon McGee's commentary in this story because I'm sure it didn't come from him, but he had heard it before, but he tells it very well, and that at that particular time, God would come by every day and he would ask Enoch to walk with him. And so he would walk with him every day, and apparently he got so excited about walking with him, he would be standing at his gate waiting for God to come by. And then one day God said, as he met him, "I've got a lot to tell you today. We're going to take an extra long walk." So they walked and they walked and they walked and they walked. Finally, Enoch said, "I better be getting home. It's getting late." And so God then says in this story, "Hey, we're closer to my home than yours, so come with me." Well, that's a pretty nice story, isn't it? But think about you. Think about me. We have something even much better than Enoch had, because we can look back to what's already happened, not having to believe in faith it's going to happen, but it's already happened. Jesus came to earth as a man to die, and he died, and that wasn't the big deal as much as he was resurrected from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And then he ascended into heaven, and God established the basis, confirming the basis by which you get to heaven, in looking to him, he who lives forever, and we who believe in him will likewise live forever. So we have such a glorious position, if you just kind of think about what we have that Enoch never had. You know, he never had the presence of the Holy Spirit in him, really, the way that we have, and he didn't have that full assurance of the completion of all of the things that they were looking forward to. But he was a prophet, and he was speaking to the world about that. You know, it is kind of sad in a way when you think of these prophets like Noah. How many did really became saved through Noah's testimony? It doesn't seem like any of them. There were only eight that came through the flood, and that was basically Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. It doesn't say anything about there was grace found in his sons or in his sons' wives, or even in his wife, but it does say grace was found in Noah, and therefore God saved him. And now here we are, all saved because of what he has done. And so our walk should be absolutely close to him, should it not? And so we look to this dialogue, and we can be thankful for what he has done. In Jude we read verses 14 and 15, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." Well, we'll be one of those, right? More than one. I mean, we've got more than one here. We'll be a dozen of those saints, right? Or however many we got here. 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So think of the prophecy of that all the way back to Enoch's time, for God's judgment that's going to come upon the earth against the wickedness. So what does that mean to us today? Well, we know what it means to us today. We are supposed to be salt and light, right? We are supposed to be standing for the truth. We are supposed to be doing what is right because we're his, right? And that walking with him then would be accomplishing what he has to accomplish through each of our lives, through however he wants to work. And we know that it's all him. We know that he's going to do his purposes with or without us. But he gives us that gracious opportunity to share in a little of his glory by being involved in being obedient with what he has for us to do. So we see this great display of God toward man here in Enoch. And, you know, we have had a lot of conversation about the two witnesses in Revelation. And for years, when they weren't really so conscious of the rapture, they thought it was so unique, and maybe the only two in history where Elijah and Enoch didn't die. Well, now we have the promise that those still breathing at the time of the rapture, all of those will be in the same position, right? None of them will die. So I don't know that that builds a lot of credence on who those two witnesses are. I think the witnesses more are the law and the prophets, and I do think that's Moses and Elijah probably, but it doesn't really matter. We see God's faithfulness here. So are we walking with him, and are we pleasing him, and do we love him? Because he has said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. So easy to say we love the Lord. Maybe it's a little bit harder to obey what he has for us to do. But we're here this morning with what a blessing this is. And we do want to pray for today. Today's a big day. And as I mentioned earlier, there's at least riots, if you will, being promoted and planned for at least 15 cities, probably more, throughout the United States. And just to think of some of the ties back to the funds that are funding this. And, you know, the people that are arresting, for example, in Los Angeles, very few of them really are from here. They're almost all outside agitators. And this is just a microcosm of what it is. You know, when you see pickup trucks pulling up with concrete blocks and backpacks and hammers to give everybody the opportunity to get their block and break it up and then throw it at the police officers. I mean, that's insurrection. That should not be allowed to happen, should it? I mean, and if we had godliness within us as a nation, that would all, there wouldn't be any takers for those concrete blocks. But we don't have godliness in our nation, and we've turned from him, so we have these difficulties. But we're his, and we're here to pray. And so that's the greatest opportunity that we have to come against the much of this evil, particularly today, as we think of Flag Day and the activities of, that are planned. We want to pray for President Trump and Marco Rubio and Mike Johnson and Mike Huckabee, especially. Those four are kind of in the connective limelight now with the Israel situation, and so that's a big thing happening right now. And you know, it's kind of hard to, there's violence going on with Ukraine and one thing and another, but of course the last, what, 3 days now we've had a shift of emphasis on violence with the wiping out a number of the, at least some of the nuclear stuff, and praise God for that, because they're very close to having the weapon. And what they're going to do with those weapons, the present leadership, not the people. The people in Iran are great. The church is growing very rapidly in Iran, which is wonderful. And I'm personally hopeful, we all are, that through this rough time in Iran, maybe the people will rise up and overrule their leadership, you know, because there's going to be a certain amount of weakness there. They wiped out a lot of the leaders in that attack. Israel did. And praise God, Israel did it and didn't have to wait for the United States to do it, because there's enough pushback against Israel. The United States would have had even more. But this is all unfolding, and the Lord knows. So we want to pray for that. And we want to pray for protection today against the lawkeepers, the police officers, and the troops. There's National Guardsmen being employed or standing by in many states. And it's in one respect kind of sad. In another respect, we've got so much to be thankful for. Let's not get too bogged down with the negative stuff, because it was negative in the time of Enoch, was it not? It was so godless at that time that him standing up for the Lord was singled out, really unbelievable. And Noah's time too. I mean, it's all the same period of time there, generally speaking, pre-flood. So. We think we've got it bad. It wasn't as bad now as it was then. We don't have the Nephilim producing all of these giants yet. They'll be back probably after, in my opinion, after the rapture, after the Holy Spirit's presence in the church will be withdrawn, all evil will break loose. But we're here, and we're here to be salt and light, aren't we? Well, Father, we just thank you for the account of Enoch. We thank you for him walking with you. We thank you for enabling us to walk with you. And help us to really be totally surrendered to you. So fill us with your spirit right now and guide us in this time of prayer. And only you, Spirit, can really lead us and teach us to pray as we ought. Thereby, we could be in all in one accord with whoever's praying that, yes, this is of you, and we want to stand in agreement. So may we pray. Let us pray. Well, we come to the end of the hour, and just wanted to bring our focus back to walking as Enoch walked. And we will close with a song, hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. But before we sing that, I've listed a few verses here that come to mind about walking in the Bible. From Deuteronomy 10:12, we read, And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Five verses in Psalm 119 regarding walking. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. 133, one of my favorites, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Lord, I just pray that we would be aware of the real suffering is not what's going on in these war-torn countries. The real suffering is going on in hell forever for every unbeliever. And Lord, yes, we pray for protection, but we've already won because of what you've done for us. Nobody can take that salvation away from us, no matter what they do. But those who take their last breath today without you, Lord, eternal torment, eternal torment. And so, Lord, the numbers are staggering. Just under 400,000 babies born today, every day, 400,000. And maybe 160,000 or so, probably a little more, dying every day. 160,000 will die today around this world. Nothing to do with wars, generally speaking, just end of life. Decisions that are made right now will be the eternal decision of each of these. And so we pray for souls to be saved, Lord. And we know souls, more souls have saved in times of difficulty than in times of undifficulty. And yet our flesh says, end the war. Our flesh says, may things get better. But we know your purposes will be fulfilled. And Lord, help us to be in accordance as we walk with you, not against you, or not away from you, or not pursuing our own path, Lord. So maybe just close in this old hymn here. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Wow. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me thy patience. Still with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong. Wow. In trust that triumphs over wrong. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let me live. So let's just sing this song together, if we may.
O Master, let me walk with thee in holy bands of service free.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Yes. We thank you for every precious moment that we spend with you, and you want more of them to be spent with you than I think that we do. But just help us to move spontaneously as you would call us and direct us toward you, Lord, as we would walk with you. Guide each one here, Lord, and help us to keep our eyes on the important thing, and that is the righteous robes that you have given every believer that will not be taken away. Your promises will not fail. That you have prepared a place for us. You have prepared a place for every single one who will turn to you and who will receive you. And so the glorious hope, the living hope. And Lord, we're mindful that our soul and our spirit never die. Our soul and our spirit never get cancer. Yes. Never have an auto accident. It's only this body which is going to pass away. 100 out of 100 of us will take our last breath. So we think it's such a big deal when that last breath comes, but it's really the best breath we'll ever take, because it's just one breath away from the first breath with you forever. Forever, forever. Help us to keep that in mind, Lord.
Yes.
So we just thank you, Lord, for meeting us here, and we thank you for your faithfulness. So